spotting 130.
Friday, September 16th, 2011.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Feedback Friday, so let's let you guys do the talking.
Hey, Ryan and Jen, this is Tim from Columbia, Maryland, calling in regards to your Movie Monday, the amusement park theme Movie Monday. And I just want to thank you all for your podcast and say I really enjoyed it. I love both those movies. I love both those soundtracks. And I got a great story about Lost Boys. I was in the Army stationed up in Monterey, and we'd go to Santa Cruz often, and we found the bridge that they hung off of in that one pivotal scene. And turns out it's only about 10 feet off the ground, so pretty, not as cool as the movie version, but we did find that bridge, so I think that was pretty cool. Also, I'm looking forward to hearing about your soundtracks on Wednesday. I, too, love soundtracks, and three of my favorites, which hopefully you'll talk about, are from some John Cusack movies, High Fidelity soundtrack, and then the Say Anything soundtrack and Gross Point Blank are some of my favorites. So I'm looking forward to hear what you guys have to offer. And once again, thanks for the podcast. Stay safe. Bye.
Thanks for your call, Tim.
Well, I am ashamed of myself because
High Fidelity.
I forgot about High Fidelity.
You had Gross Point Blank, though.
I did have Gross Point Blank, but I'm realizing now that I think I like High Fidelity even more.
Well, what on that soundtrack would have gotten you excited?
The two Velvet Underground tracks and the Dry the Rain by the Beta Band.
Well, I think it's a great recommendation, great suggestion. It probably would have made a top five, but I think that since High Fidelity is a movie about music, I think our selections, except perhaps once, did kind of have a different twist on that. So I wouldn't beat yourself up too much. I kind of like the thing about the bridge and the Lost Boys. You know, we certainly know about locations of our favorite scenes.
Yeah.
Except, though, apparently a lot of people think that this bridge is the one that's next to the theme park in Santa Cruz. But according to much more assertive online sources, the bridge is actually in Valencia, far away from there, near the intersection of the Golden State Highway and the Magic Mountain Parkway. I love those names. But in any case, maybe, Tim, you might want to check. And if not, hey, I think it's time for a road trip.
Absolutely.
Next up, a message from an old friend.
Hey, Ryan and Jen, this is Jeff Gentry, X-Force 11, with another installment of Jeff's Music Cues for Pop Spotting. You asked for recommendations about collections of soundtracks with songs over scores. Well, here are two very different ones. The first is Elf, the music from the motion picture. It's a collection of classic Christmas songs that really give you that 50s, 60s kind of throwback vibe to it. It's kind of a classic, you know, party mix with some really good ones in there, including a Zooey Deschanel cover of Baby, It's Cold Outside. I'm a big Zooey Deschanel fan, along with She and Him. So it's just a great album. It's one of my favorite Christmas albums next to Charlie Brown Christmas. So the second recommendation is the soundtrack to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? A great collection of roots, country, and bluegrass music put together by very talented artists, Allison Krauss and Union Station, Jillian Welch, and many more. It's a classic collection of great roots music, and now there is the 10th anniversary edition out in iTunes. It's like a two-disc version with some extra cuts on there. So check those both out. Thanks, guys. Bye.
I love it, Jeff. More music cues. And hey, you know, Christmas albums separately might be another good top five list.
That's an awesome idea. In fact, I think I'm composing one in my head as we speak.
Very cool. But Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, a film that I enjoy. I like more when I catch it now on TNT, I think, when they air it. And,
yeah.
A fantastic soundtrack. And it is in line with a lot of the recommendations that Jeff has made in sort of the bluegrass, sort of really middle America heartland stuff.
I was considering it for my soundtracks list, but I tend to think of that soundtrack is more of a score than a soundtrack. But I mean, I do really love that album.
Well, most of the songs on that soundtrack were recorded for the film, but some really great names on that. And, you know, like Once, it's a film where the music becomes part of the storyline for sure.
Yeah.
You want to hear a track off the Oh Brother soundtrack?
Absolutely.
All right. Here's Allison Krauss and Jillian Welch with I'll Fly Away.
Fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning.
a great track off a great soundtrack. So thanks again, Jeff, for those music cues. Let's move on to some movie talk.
Cheryl in L.A. writes on Facebook, after days of gorgeous beaches and swimming in lakes, I took in a matinee of The Debt today to beat the heat. As you two said, it is a great heist film. I was on board for the writing and other nuts and bolts of set design, photography, and sound. I liked the story and was on the edge of my seat in many of the scenes, too. However, I did feel this film was largely miscast. I was convinced by young Rachel and young Stefan and the villain, but Worthington was a disaster, not a good enough actor, not Israeli in any way, and worst of all, not sexy and had zero chemistry with Rachel. I was also not enamored with Mirren and Wilkinson, even though they have the chops and are stellar in other films. Their accents were so bad and they just never seemed Israeli either. Our local reviewer thought the young male actors should have been switched. I somewhat agree. Young Stefan could have pulled off David with a stronger presence and sexier, but I would not have cast Worthington in this film at all.
Well, wow. Well, what do you think about reversing that? So Martin Sokas as young David, perhaps?
I don't know. David was too quiet, and Martin Sokas seems too big of a presence. I don't think that would have worked either.
Yeah, I think Sokas was fantastic as the brash one, as the really egotistical, strong-willed one. But despite any of these complaints, though, I think you'll agree, and Cheryl is also saying that it's a fantastic film. We move on to our supersized De Niro podcast a while back. Robert had actually emailed us just to say that it was our best pop spotting yet, a superb effort.
Thank you.
That was very nice. Jeff on the blog writes, Goodfellas is one of my favorites due to the music, acting, sets, and costumes. You really feel the progression of time from the 50s to the early 80s. A very well-acted movie. And certainly we agree.
Agreed. Al on Facebook writes, love the combo. Another strong Michael Mann film from back in the day was Thief with James Caan, Willie Nelson, James Belushi, and Tuesday Weld. It's very similar in tone to Heat, except taking out the Pacino side of the story. So it's about how and why Caan is a master safecracker in his rise and fall. Nelson is terrific as Khan's mentor. Finally, the music by Tangerine Dream is striking and perfect for the flick. Highly recommended.
Have you seen Thief?
No, but I'm definitely interested in it.
It sounds like a winner. That was out in 1981. It was actually Michael Mann's first theatrical film in terms of writing and directing, so it's always kind of fun to see a film like that and knowing where he might end up as a filmmaker. And Dennis Farina is also in the film, and I love the Law and Order.
I love him because of his role in Out of Sight.
All right, next up, Forrest Frizzell writes on Google Plus, if you have Netflix, check out Gomorra. It's an Italian film about the Neapolitan mob. It intertwines four stories of interaction with the mob. It's a really good movie. So, I mean, I'm not completely unfamiliar with this one.
Film Spotting loves this movie, so of course I'm interested in it as well.
It got a 91% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which is pretty darn high, and of course there's a 2-disc DVD Criterion Collection version, so that's also a strong vote of confidence.
Back to De Niro, Greg writes on Facebook, love both these films with a passion. I remember the first time I saw Heat in the theaters. The first robbery where all the car windows shattered sounded amazing. You forgot to mention that Heat also included an early performance by Natalie Portman.
Right.
She didn't have a whole lot to do, but some of her scenes were heartbreaking. You should do a Hitman double feature and include The Professional, one of the best films of the 90s, and Gross Point Blank or Collateral.
Always good to hear from Greg, our Pixar expert. Yeah. And once again, another mention of Gross Point Blank. That's a good sign, but I like the idea of a Hitman double feature or, you know, even a countdown, perhaps, of assassin films.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And Natalie Portman, yes, in The Professional and in Heat. We forgot to mention her. And I think that she was very strong as a young actor back then, and she had a really rough transition to becoming a leading lady, but she was great in Heat.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why we didn't mention her performance, because she's really good, and her scenes are very good.
Agreed. And so if you all want to help us prime the pump for a assassin list, you should send us in your suggestions, and we'll get started on that for a future Movie Monday. Moving on to our neo-noir show on The Big Lebowski and Brick, Al writes on the blog, so I'm interested in the movie that wasn't listed in the Coens list you discussed of their noir, The Man Who Wasn't There. It's well acted and well written, and I find it less ironic and self-referential than most of their work. That's not to say it's their best. I think No Country and Fargo are,
yep.
But it's definitely worth mention in discussion of the best noir of the last 20 to 30 years. And what beats them all from the last 20 to 30 years, and my suggestion for a duet for Movie Monday? Body Heat and House of Games. Most have seen The Hurt Turner Potboiler, which is a double indemnity variation and practically melts the film it sits on. Mm. House of Games is a mammoth written and directed con within a con movie, perhaps the best of its kind. Stylish, well-written, and complex, it's in my top 50 movies.
I've seen both Body Heat and The Man That Wasn't There, but I think I was maybe 13 when I saw Body Heat on cable, so I don't think I got the full effect of it.
Well, you know, I've not seen The Man Who Wasn't There, but just looking at it quickly, you know, Billy Bob Thornton, Francis McDormand, James Gandolfini, Scarlett Johansson, I mean, Tony Shalhoub, you know, there's Monk again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's something about this cast list alone that makes it sound like we need to give it another look, and it's a Coen Brothers film. Surely we'll check it out, but I agree also that Fargo is one of their best films ever and easily in my top five films of all time.
I love Fargo too.
But yes, we did ask for suggestions for Movie Monday double features. Body Heat and House of Games both sound like something we should check out. And if you've seen either, we'd love it if you'd chime in early, maybe to push us over the edge. Let's move on to some other movies.
Aaron in California posted a review of a movie we were curious about to Facebook. He writes, "Oh my God. I am about 18 minutes into Cowboys and Aliens, and already it's in the running for one of the worst films ever. And the names attached, Spielberg and Harrison Ford, Ron Howard, poor Keith Carradine as Sam Rockwell, and Damon Lindelof. For shame. You'd think people would be suing to have their names removed. I've always had the ability to blush for others in embarrassing situations, and I was flushed red when I saw Keith. It's not just the script stinks to high heaven, but from the first scene, the movie is just so full of itself."
Wow. Well, tell us how you really feel, Aaron. You know, it's funny. Before Comic-Con, that was sort of the big movie, and we were kind of regretting, for example, not getting tickets to see that screening there, and you know, certainly the previews got us all excited. It seemed like the perfect combination of Western and alien movie, but I don't think Aaron is alone. I don't think anybody liked Cowboys and Aliens.
No, I have not heard one good thing about it.
Well, we got another movie review from Jeffrey in Idaho on Facebook. He writes, "Just saw Planet Terror. I heard it recommended on the podcast a while back. Naveen Andrews was the only good thing about it. Lamest movie I've ever seen. I really like Robert Rodriguez's movie style, but that was just sad. For all of you that didn't see it, watch Crank 1 and 2 with Jason Statham instead." Mm. On another note, you guys rock. You're like the only podcast I listen to.
Thank you.
Well, I love that, Jeffrey. And, you know, between it was there were two films, right? It was Planet Terror
and Death Proof.
And Death Proof is the far superior film.
I agree. Absolutely.
That's the one you'll want to check out. Because, I mean, yeah, I think I would agree. You know, Planet Terror just really didn't strike the right note all the way through. Something about Death Proof, it was going for the camp, but it was still delicious and relishing it, I think.
Well, it's Tarantino.
But Planet Terror was trying to do something completely different. And probably failed. I like that he points out that we recommended it, but I have to point out that that was back in June 2006. So Jeffrey is working through our archives, I suppose.
Oh,
and,
God.
And again, I think we were mostly talking about the combination of the films. I mean, even the trailers, the fake trailers that came out with those two movies were one of the best parts about it. Let's move on to books and television.
Marianne in Texas writes on Facebook, "It was cool to hear the shout out to William Slater on the podcast today. His books got me into science fiction as a kid. A couple other good ones of his are The Boy Who Reversed Himself and The Green Futures of Tycho. As for TV, a friend recommended The IT Crowd to us, and the darling hubby and I are really enjoying it. It is one of the few shows we both enjoy."
I'm still very curious about The IT Crowd. It's great to hear some love for that. Greg writes on the blog, first a correction that he did not make the website for Neil Gaiman. It was for Andrew Vox, but Andrew Vox actually turned what Greg did into his official site, so not bad there. But he writes, "I am also a fan of both White Collar and Burn Notice. I can see where Ryan thinks Jeffrey Donovan's character on Burn Notice seems stiff. He's supposed to be the stoic, unflappable spy, so his delivery often sounds deadpan, which is great when he delivers a wisecrack. But I do think White Collar would have been more to your collective taste. Even though the two main characters work together, they can't completely trust each other, so there's always a cat and mouse game happening on the side. It's a bit more cerebral than Burn Notice, which relies probably a bit too much on explosions, and Matt Bomer is very dreamy."
Mm.
So, well, I mean, come on, you can't avoid that. I got to put that to you as well. Who's cuter, Donovan or Bomer?
Bomer.
All right. Well, I mean, that's yet another vote in favor of White Collar, so it's certainly climbing our TV list.
And finally on TV, Lorna writes by email, I listened to your Sons of Anarchy podcast today. Thought you might be interested. Henry Rollins does a weekly show on my local NPR station, KCRW. He's a nice guy. I met him at an event. Love your podcast. I'm so glad you're still podcasting after the transmission. It makes my workday so much better.
Well, thanks, Lorna. We're glad we can help you get through your workday. Always good to hear from another transmission crossover. And Henry Rollins on NPR, just those words together sound like music to my ears.
I've listened to his show on streaming, and he's a great host. I love Henry because he's just very smart and very knowledgeable, and I love hearing him talk about music.
So you can check that out at henryrollins.com/KCRW. Finally, some comments on our recent Hawaii shows. Christine in California writes on Facebook, I loved your Big Island podcast. I was on Google Earth following your description around the Big Island. It was so awesome. I would love a virtual trip around Oahu, too.
Your wish is our command.
Yeah, that's certainly coming up. And, you know, using Google Earth and kind of typing in and jumping around the globe as we're saying where we're going, that's a great idea.
That is a great idea.
Colleen liked it as well, so thanks for that.
Rafaela in the Philippines writes on Facebook, I definitely wouldn't mind more Hawaii-themed shows. Reminds me of Hawaii Up days of yore.
Ah, Rafael, of course, and Hawaii Up, our very first podcast, like 2005. So this is sort of the old school show. I love it. Cheryl writes on Facebook, how fun to revisit the Big Island with you. Jim and I had a fabulous trip there this past March. We lucked out by hitting clear blue skies and glorious sunshine for our 2 days in Hilo, where we started. I absolutely loved driving along Onomea Bay, visiting the botanical garden there, and seeing both Rainbow and Akaka Falls. We also drove around the island. I loved the sophistication of Waimea and the quaintness and charm of Hawaii. The white sand scenic Hapuna Beach was delightful, but the ocean waves were pretty crazy after the tsunami. Visiting the city of refuge was great, and the snorkeling there was wonderful. For our last night, we stayed in Volcano in a quaint B&B. Of course, we went all along Crater Rim Drive and Chain of Craters Roads, and because of your recommendation, we saw the magical Holei Sea Art.
Oh, great.
I do have a recommendation for you and your family. The green sand beach made of olivine crystals on the westernmost, I think she means southernmost, point of the island. It is quite an adventure to get there. We hooked up with a local on the spot who had a four-wheel drive and took people in and out all day long. It is gorgeous and incredibly cool. It was my daughter's favorite stop when she went to Hawaii with her now husband a few years back, and she insisted that we see it. So a great kind of her own tour of the Big Island there, and the green sand beach at South Point. I haven't been there since I was a little kid.
No, we haven't been there. I think I went there with my friends in college right after I met Ryan, but I don't think we hit the green sand beach, and it's definitely something I want to see. As an August baby, Peridot is my birthstone, and Peridot is a type of olivine, so I've always been curious about what it looks like.
Okay, and you know, my favorite color is green. That's why I like you so much. So that's Papakulea Beach, and I think we're going to have to add it to our next trip. That is the big section of the Big Island we skipped on our tour because, again, we don't really go around the south side. So I think we're going to make it make an effort to start exploring down there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's always great to hear from you, and frankly, if we didn't hear from you, we probably wouldn't be doing this show. The friendships and conversations we have with you are our favorite part of podcasting, and well, you know, we're greedy as well. We want more. We want more friends and more conversations, so we do want to ask you a favor.
We'd like to ask you to maybe share Pop Spotting with your friends. Bring them into the fold, and it's easy to do. You can share a link to popspotting.net on your Facebook wall. You can retweet us or recommend us on Twitter, and most helpfully, you could rate us and post a quick review of our show in the iTunes podcast directory.
That's perhaps one of the best ways to drive new listeners to our show, the rating and the reviews in iTunes. I mean, provided that you like our show.
Yeah.
So we really recommend that. And consider this the start of a Pop Spotting Ohana membership drive, except without, the cheesy dance numbers and raffles, at least for now. I mean, we just basically appreciate everything that you can do to help us grow the show.
And if you're listening and you've never checked in, what are you waiting for? We don't bite. Much.
Yeah, not much. You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net, or you can leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808.
But we heartily encourage you to post on the Pop Spotting page on Facebook at facebook.com/popspotting. That's where other listeners can see your comments and they can talk it over.
You can start any topic you want there. Yes, that's right. Or you can also post a comment on a specific episode on our blog at popspotting.net.
And you can connect with us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting. Our personal accounts are Hawaii and at Mrs. Hawaii. We probably spend a lot more time on there than we should.
Absolutely. So join us in our addiction. We will be back soon with more pop talk. For now, we want to thank Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for making our theme song.
And mahalo to you for listening. For Pop Spotting, I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
Aloha.
Aloha.